3 o'clock. Ted Johnson's here.
What's up, guys? How we doing?
Well, I don't know if you heard. You got beef with Will Clark.
You guys are. It's like I think it's like Friday, September 13th. You guys are fighting on pay-per-view.
Is that right? Yeah.
He called you a weak-ass East Coast media DB.
Yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah, me personally.
Ted Johnson. Yeah. It was weird.
So you know, it's amazing how many fights Andy has lined up in the short time we've been working.
Did you know this? That you're going to get into this?
No. It's just I should have seen the pattern. I mean,
we're
it was kind of early.
And so now he goes on some podcast, a Zoom. I don't know when it was.
Is that the guy you want me to beat up?
Yes.
That guy?
Okay. Yep. Will
right.
Clark.
Oh,
yeah, you can take him.
One of the many,
much
by the
smaller.
Way.
I've been working out a lot.
Yeah.
I'm feeling pretty
good. You look
good.
Mm-hmm. You're still in good shape.
Yeah.
He seems like he doesn't work out as much and maybe spends time.
He's let go of the rope a little bit.
You go to East Coast Men's Health, he goes to West Coast Men's Dumb.
He and Stiz do the same thing after work every day.
Yeah, you know, 1, 2, 12
ounce curls.
144 ounces later. Man, yo, how come I got this beer belly?
This audio is gold, though. It's absolute gold. It's like I mean, you talk about a guy that just wanted sparked this story.
Yep.
I mean, he just poured, you know, kerosene all over it,
100%.
And it's blaming Will Fleming for it. It's the complete and utter cluelessness on his part is kind of breathtaking.
It's
awesome
and entertaining.
Yeah, very entertaining
for us, even though he's attacking us on some level. But it is 3 o'clock. Ted Johnson's here. Three hosts are in the studio here in Brighton. That means it's time for 3 Point Stance.
319.
It's the 3 Point Stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Pasternak, a hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone. A 3-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
All right, gentlemen, it's time for today's 3 Point Stance here on WEEI Afternoons, which is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you use Ted Johnson as a human shield against Will Clark, you got to get Glassman. And you can call all sevens to do that at 617-777-7777. As it is 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, we have three hosts all in studio, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in the world of sports today. Ding. Each host will get 60 seconds, to present their opening stance, after which we will open up for discussion on each. Our order is Andy Hart, then Nick Fitzy Stevens, and then Ted Johnson. Andy, you will lead us off. Are you ready?
I indeed am.
Do you have your notification set?
I do.
Okay.
Well, you heard the starting bell, which means you have 60 seconds, which start right now.
Okay, so about a month ago, I think I addressed this topic. Christian Campbell was one of the big three. Uh-oh. He was the first of the big three that was in the big leagues to start the year, played ball with them on a contract, rookie of the month, and the bottom fell out after that. He has since been sent down to Worcester. I don't know if anybody's been paying attention to Christian Campbell in Worcester.
Not closely, no.
No. Well, he's not good there either. He has had 50 at-bats. He is batting a nice, even 200. Ooh. He does not have a home run. He has 3 doubles, 1 triple, so not exactly knocking the ball around. He is looking not like a big league superstar, what he was supposed to be, the minor league player of the year last year, first guy in the big leagues. As we get to the trade deadline and we start talking about the Joe Ryans of the world or the Mason Millers of the world or whoever you want to talk about, we see Marcelo Meyer in the big leagues and we go, I think he's going to be a big leaguer, looks the part. Maybe it's at second base for a little while. Christian Campbell didn't look good at second base, didn't look good at the plate, still doesn't look good at the plate. If teams still want Christian Campbell and his cost-controlled contract, I'll say it again, trade Christian Campbell to make your team better.
Interesting.
Okay. Nailed that. That was a good 60 seconds right there.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. I haven't heard a lot of people clamoring for that.
No.
It's been Duran. It's been Abreu.
Right. Yeah,
it's been someone else in the farm or the system with surplus of righty arms like Fitz or...
I'm just curious, that contract, you feel like it's cost control, is it? How good is he?
It could become an albatross soon. It could become a bad contract, but I have to think... The guy that as recently as the end of April was the rookie of the month in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
There has to be somebody out there that looks at him and goes, that guy is still there. I like him. I want him on my team. Take advantage of that guy.
Yeah.
There's a sucker born every day. There's a sucker born every minute. Yeah. Find that sucker and trade Christian Campbell to him.
Gotcha.
Christian Campbell for Mason Miller. Heard you loud and clear. All
right. It had to happen. I would not make him untouchable. Put it that way. If there were somebody,
no way.
You know how some of these GMs and president of baseball operations Breslovians like to look at these. He's an untouchable.
But that wasn't his guy. That's the one thing he's got in his on his side is that that was not a Breslow choice to bring in Christian Campbell in the original.
But he did sign the deal.
He did sign a deal. That is true. That is true.
I don't think it'd be an albatross. I still think there's enough shine on him that he could be the centerpiece of a big deal that could improve.
Did you hear
this
200 in Worcester?
I did.
That
but
part.
Dude, is he old enough to buy his own beer?
He's one at bat away from
below
the Mendoza line. Okay, Dimball, go ahead.
Okay, Fitzy, are you ready?
It's my turn. Hooray.
Yes, and make sure you pat yourself on the back like Andy did when you nail your 60 seconds, which begin right now.
All right, so the NFL Top 100 for the 2025 season continues, and as we speculated last week, yes, Christian Gonzalez did make the NFL Top 100, coming in at player number 84. I'm glad that somebody from the New England Patriots will represent this team, considering how bad they were last season and what a dearth of talent there was on the roster. Now, this will come as a surprise. Not that he came in where he did or that he made the list overall. Certain people in this town at other broadcast stations that shall not be named think that this is a massive overrating of his talent and that this team is ticketed for 5 wins total, to which I say, have you ever watched football before? Christian Gonzalez is not just good enough to be on the NFL Top 100. Christian Gonzalez should be much higher than 84 and will be higher than 84 next season. You are looking at somebody who is one of the best players in the NFL, one of the best players at his position. He is about to blossom into superstardom, and I continue to maintain that if Christian Gonzalez, with a healthy secondary and Carlton Davis to his left, Kyle Duggar and Jabril Peppers and Craig Woodson to his rear, with this defensive line, Christian Gonzalez could not just be on his way to superstardom and a higher number on the NFL Top 100 next year. You could possibly be looking at a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. How do you like them apples, Gonzo haters?
Who are the Gonzo haters? Who are you fighting with?
Rhymes with...
No.
Yep.
Don't say it.
Yep.
Don't say it.
Huh? Yep.
I have an idea.
There's actual haters out there?
Yeah.
I must not hear these people.
Are they voices in your head or are they real people?
No, you're wrong, Mike.
Part of it might be that they are looking at the the fact that he's only played 20 games in 2 years. That's
he got hurt.
How's that body of evidence looking so far, though?
I'm trying to think of what arguments could be made against him.
That's about it.
That is about it. So
fluid hips, strong legs, great instinct, ball hawk, tough tackler. Tyreek Hill says best corner in the NFL.
Also keeps his mouth shut and doesn't seem like he's going to get in trouble. Not that matters for on the field, but in terms of a developing star, that's a good thing for an organization to put its faith in. I haven't heard a single hater out there for him, and I think the majority is right. He shows you everything that leads you to believe. The one argument I have against...
Had the best play I saw in minicamp in the 2 days I was there.
Yeah, when he stands out. There are guys that stand out for their build, their fluidity, their speed, something. When you watch Christian Gonzalez, you're like, oh, yeah, I see it. Mm-hmm. He looks the part.
Recovery
like Darrell
speed.
Revis used to do it. You're like, yeah, Darrell Revis looks a little different when he does things. Like
recovery speed,
Gonzo
strength, length. You know, Ted, to a man and a person, ask friends of ours over at NBC Sports Boston, the Herald, the Globe. They'll all say the same thing. Not that we don't believe you walking through the door with your big Ted frame. He was by far the best player at OTAs and minicamps. He is primed for stardom, and when they give you...
Also supposed to be.
But, Carlton Davis to his side in the secondary? Come on now.
I guess I can understand that the rest of the NFL doesn't quite see what we see, though. Like, so if he's rated at 84, I think that's just partially... It's just he's still young. He's missed most of the games his rookie year.
He's a one-year guy.
Yeah, one-year guy. So it's kind of like, okay, you got to see more than 1 year before you put him up there with the tippy-top best of the best. So I'm not surprised. I still think that's... You're in the top 100.
Right.
That's pretty damn good ranking.
Oh, and of all positions, like if you say, so there's 22 positions. So if we put the top, the all pros and the second team all pros, we've already used up 44 spots, right? Like you're already halfway through the top 100.
Yeah.
I, I think he's in a good spot. I really do. Yeah.
I just can't believe that anybody could comfortably criticize him or say he, like the team, is overrated. Get out of here.
Well, the team is overrated.
People can definitely argue that the team is overrated.
Ding, 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 ding.
There's a lot of people that
argue that. Actually, the more I read these offseason lists and rankings and grades that all these national media outlets put together, I'm like, yeah, they really are overrated.
Well, I'm not. I'm just
secondary
I'm not,
should be this.
No, I'm not saying that they're right. Mm-hmm. I'm saying you can't argue it. I'm not saying that the people that do argue that they're not very good have at least a case, but it's not a good case in my opinion.
The not very good is I don't think what people are arguing though. It's not what I'm arguing. I'm arguing they're overrated.
Yes.
Those are two different things.
But no, you're not. You're arguing they're not very good because your win total is
eight.
Would not. Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. We can go back and find the graphic.
I love that mine is a 10, and you think you're
that's
at
a lot in the NFL.
That's a huge difference.
Those two games are the difference between like going home early or going to
the
playoffs.
You and I have these completely different viewpoints of the team.
Can you guys pull over so I can get out of the car? Hey, I have a great idea. How about this? So as we sit here discussing what positional groups on the Patriots might be overrated, might be not, et cetera, PFF saying the Patriots have the fifth best secondary in the NFL, how about today we should rank out the positional groupings?
How about we do that around, I don't know, in the 4 o'clock football
hour? At football o'clock, bro.
Damn right. That sounds like a good idea, Fitzy. We'll do that a little bit later. But right now it's time for Ted Johnson and his 3-point stance, Dan Ball.
All right, Ted, you ready?
You know what? Yeah, I was just calculating something
that seems like a no.
I am right. There's
are you out of your mind?
Basically 1800 players in the NFL and you are in the top 100. I'd say you're doing okay. Was the point I was trying to make.
That's very good.
It's about 1800 point. Players 53 times 32 is the number. Okay, hey, you guys, I'm ready, Dan. Yeah, what's taking you guys so long? You guys
1896.
All right.
Right?
And,
Go ahead, Ted. So
I've been kind of following the Stephon Diggs thing. You know, he had some comments recently that I think just kind of piqued my interest when it comes to the offense, working with Josh McDaniels. Is it easy? Is it hard? We all know that this is not an easy offense for guys to pick up, right? And so, and particularly some of the veterans that have come here in the past, receivers have had difficulty picking it up. And here's another one, I think, to some degree, talking about the complexities of the Josh McDaniels offense, that being Stephon Diggs. And he said this, quote, "I'm studying, but it's really the route concepts. Like, basically, if you hear a word, you need to be able to know the word immediately, know the concept. So, really, I'm just working on my memorization. I don't need to know exactly just what I got. I got to know what somebody to the right or to the left of me got, too. So, what everybody got around me, I got to be, how am I going to get open or how am I going to get somebody else open? You know what I'm saying? In between 2 or 3 seconds, when you break the huddle, I'm starting looking at the contour of the defense." What he's saying is, I got to know so much more than just my job. And that's part of the problem with a Josh McDaniels offense is how complex it is. What Josh McDaniels wants is the quarterback and the receivers to see the same thing post-snap. The ball is snapped. They have one route called, but because of what the defense is doing post-snap, they got to change it and see it the same way and know instinctively by repping it time and time again what's supposed to happen. So I'm already a little bit worried because I hear him talking as if this offense, there's a lot of complexities to it, and I'm like, oh, great. Here's another veteran receiver not being able to pick up this offense.
And, Teddy, you're right. This is a story as old as the Josh McDaniels Patriots offense going back to actually the Charlie Weiss Patriots offense from your time. And a quick side note, a guy you'll remember, I believe, 2002. His name was Donald Hayes. He was a free agent wide receiver addition from the Carolina Panthers. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to upgrade the receiver position back then. It was dink. It was dunk. There weren't a lot of bodies, blah, blah, blah.
He was toast.
And it's the one time I really felt bad about a headline I wrote on Patriots Football Weekly. He was toast. He stinked.
He did catch a touchdown
in
the opener.
Did he make the week one roster?
He did, but he couldn't learn the offense.
Got a touchdown in the opener, yeah.
He couldn't learn the offense, and it was this story about how he doesn't fit it. He's used to running just like nine route, and the headline was "In a Haze," and kind of playing off his name.
Oh, that's pretty good headline, Bubba.
It was until I found out he had a learning disorder,
shame on that, biggest a-hole in the world.
Shame. But this goes back 20 plus years. Guys arrive. Chad Ochocinco is the most famous. Oh, in Cincinnati, they just told me to run a 7, and that's what I did. And Josh McDaniels like, well, you're not in Cincinnati anymore. We actually need you to know everything that's going on. He didn't. They couldn't, and they didn't.
Can we ask? Yeah. Can I ask Dan? Literally can we expand on this a little bit, Dan? Can we do this?
Yeah, I got an Andy's here and said continue on this.
So this is Like having such a complex system is, if I'm Josh McDaniels, it's okay. I know Drake May isn't going to be here for a year or two. I think I got this quarterback for a year. So he's working with Drake in a way that they're going to be together. He's going to learn it. They're going to be inside and out like Tom Brady over time. He's going to become a supercomputer. The problem is the receivers that come in, they're fly by night. They come in, they leave. Right. They come in, they leave. There's churning of the wide receiver position. And they treat the offense as if these receivers are going to be there for a long time. And it's not. The nature of the business is there's a lot of churning. And so you're bringing in new receivers all the time to learn this very complex offense. And it's, I don't know. Sometimes I worry that it is something that is going to hold this offense back is how hard it is.
And this was something that Bill Belichick talked about when he hired Matt Patricia. In that hole, and it got lost in the craziness of Patricia being a defensive guy, which was crazy. I'm not making excuses, but the subtext to that is they talked about trying to make it
simple.
Streamlined, simpler. Simple. College kids could come in and be ready. Veterans could come in and
one
be ready.
One word means the whole thing, right?
Like cards in college. Oh, I hold up Queen Elizabeth, and we all know what to do when we hold up Queen Elizabeth. Yeah. And now they go to Josh, and also there's been this talk. I've talked about it. He has bounced around pro and college teams over the last year, trying to figure out ways to maybe simplify it a little
bit. Top five thing I'm most excited to see is this, whatever McDaniels 3.0 offense is this year.
Yeah, well, we'll see, though. And is he really going to change? And also, the added layer to that is, while he's changing his offense, you got, what's his name from Chicago, the offense, Thomas Brown, adding his things in. And then you got your wide receivers coach, Downing, adding his things in.
Right.
There's just a lot going on there. And I don't know, with a young quarterback, and you talk about the receivers, Ted, some of them have been here a little while. For example, let's say Kendrick Bourne or Pop Douglas. One's been here 5 years now, 4 years, and Kendrick Bourne, Pop Douglas in his third year. Except they've been in a different offense every flipping year. For Kendrick Bourne, it went Josh McDaniels, Bill O'Brien, Alex Van Pelt. Now it's Josh McDaniels.
No, don't forget, what's his name?
Matt Patricia.
Matt Patricia was in there. Yeah.
And it's like their heads are spinning. They're learning. Now, I do, on one sense, feel bad for them on a level, like simplify it, don't make it hard. Then the other part of me goes, this is football. You get paid a lot of money. For as old as the age of time, like, kids have been playing Pop Warner, and they're like, oh, when I hear Cherokee, that means I blitz off this side, or I'm, you know what I mean? Like, this is football. You hear a word, and you know what the word means to you at your position. And so, like, plus, didn't he play for Dable? And didn't he talk about Stephon Diggs? Like, oh, there's some carryover from Brian Dable's offense. And
yes. That doesn't mean the words and the verbiage is the same.
No, but
you know, one word might mean something at one team, and on the other team, it's a different word.
Right, but okay, translate it in your head. You're getting paid a lot of money. Study your playbook.
But
translate. But
what he's telling you is that it's not only I got to know my job, I got to know the slot receivers guy, and I got to know what the is.
Yeah,
guy
so study more.
So much. It's because isn't one of the tenets, one of the hallmarks of the Josh McDaniels offense, is that read and react, like knowing, hot routes, audibles,
shades,
look at the court. Yeah, exactly.
Is the safety inside or outside shoulder of the tight end? How does he adjust? When he adjusts, what does that do to the slot receiver?
I'm telling you, the way you're talking about it, like, well, yeah, that's football. Not everybody teaches offensive football the way Josh
does.
Well,
here's $23 million. Figure it out.
Here's a seven route. Okay, the huddle, the call in the huddle is for you to run a seven route. And then all of a sudden, oh, wait, the safety shaded a little bit. No, now you got to turn that into a post route.
Right.
Oh, there's a nuance to it, and it's not as easy, and not everybody teaches it that way. So to act like, hey, this is how it is at every other team, what's the big deal? It's not. That's what makes New England unique.
Correct. But you chose to sign with the Patriots, so you took the job with the Patriots, and the job with the Patriots for Josh McDaniels is to get up to speed. I also don't love the idea of the veteran guy that we brought in to be the veteran bitching. Because if he bitches, doesn't that give Jalen Polk the avenue to bitch?
I don't know if he's bitching, but he's talking in a way that makes it feel like he might be openly complaining.
Yeah, so keep it to yourself. We ask you to also be a leader. Even if you're struggling, go talk to Josh quietly behind the scenes.
Yeah.
don't talk about it openly, because you now open the door for Polk to be like, oh, I'm glad he said something. I got no idea what I'm doing on that play.
It's tough. It's tough memorizing these plays when you're with the Tootsie. What is it when you're taking, you know, you can take that little Tootsie?
Tootsie.
Tootsie? Okay.
Shouldn't that help? Yep. Shouldn't that give him, like, the energy to study later into the night or something?
I don't know. Some people have sworn by some players in the past that would just play with that stuff. I don't know how you do it, man.
Okay. Well. I'm not going to lose any sleep over Stephon Diggs learning the offense. Learn the damn offense and be ready when training camp opens.
I think he's going to be just with this offense, just with that receiver room, and just what Drake May needed.
He was working out in France, so.
That's true. He was working out in France. And he
shame on me for buying the hype. I know,
Drake. He dumped Cardi B.
Everybody should be pumped.
That's what I said. He is laser-focused on football.
Yeah, you know what he's laser-focused on? His next Cardi B.
$69 million. Maybe Vitsy's on. Like, he was more focused on training than he was Cardi B in France, and that's why they're ultimately broken up. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe.
Yeah. I think he's laser focused in general because of the Tootsie. Thank you.
Or he
I'm
could
all
be.
Hopped up.
Or it could be what we've always heard. He's a dog. D-O-G.
Well, if you go back to his Vikings teammates, who would you never let your sister date? Stephon Diggs.
They didn't even have to think.
And it was. I think it was borderline unanimous.
Yeah.
That's one of those things. If you're like as a longtime web reporter, like that's a funny bit. Right up until everybody answers the same guy, and you're like. It's not as funny anymore. He's clearly a weirdo or a creep or something. So that's an interesting tale
in
his past.
He's got needs.
Well, we all have.
To say the least.
Yes. We'll have to ask Ted one day, like, from his playing days, who would he never let around his sister?
That's a good question. Yeah. I'll tell you guys that. Not on air.
Weirdly,
we'll be waiting.
It's Stephon Diggs. He heard stories, and that just pushed him to the top of the list. All right, that's going to do it for 3 Point Stance. Nice job, Dan Ball. Nice job, boys. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we're getting a little head start on the 4 o'clock football hour. We're weirdly starting it at 3:30. I don't know. Dan Ball makes the rundown, and I do whatever the hell he tells me.
Good answer.
I'm like Ron Burgundy. There is a budding story on the internet that continues to simmer in the background, I guess would be the way to talk about it. It should be a bigger deal than it is, but it isn't. We've touched on it. The collusion issue between the National Football League, the Players Association, and now there's more issues with the leadership at the Players Association. Maybe there could be even a leadership change on the horizon, but we're going to start this topic of the collusion between NFL owners in terms of keeping guaranteed money down for star quarterbacks. We'll touch on that next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, fresh off his 3-point stance, Dan Ball has what's trending. How come we haven't been using any Coldplay rejoins since, like, everybody in the world's going?
Is
Ted
that
Johnson's
tonight?
No, it's early next week.
Next Tuesday.
But Alex Cora is going. Ted Johnson's going. Fitzy's. All the cool people are going.
Cool people are going.
I'll be going home.
Cool kids are going.
I may sell all my belongings.
Actually, Stiz, I got an update from Hubstub or whenever the one that doesn't sponsor us. Ticket prices are dropping.
Of course they are.
If you go to Gillette and wait for the concert to start, like 5-10 minutes, you'll get in there for pretty short money.
I buy because I don't have to sweat it out.
Right.
Yeah.
You also are bringing people, correct?
Right.
It's one thing if you just want to go and sweat it out for you, but you can't bring family, friends, kids, and be like,
on the fly.
What we're going to do is wait to see if tickets drop. And if they don't, we're going to turn around and go home.
You didn't grow up in the Grammy household, I take it.
Just going to go to a bar up there and like bring one of those gramophone-style big listeners like, see, kids, we can all listen.
You know what the cherry on top of that just tough kind of bill to pay was when you finally buy the tickets? Was
the fees.
Well, that is just that
robbery.
That, yes, but it's well, now you need parking, then you say you look. Wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
Parking is
$130.
Oh my God,
are you kidding me?
Yeah,
and that's in Rentham.
They're not.
Oh man, I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, you don't have any buddies where you can just park in their lawn somewhere down there.
Yeah, I'm sure I do. But you
just
know,
ditch the car and hop through the woods.
I've been out of the game for 18 years, bro. You know, so there's. Well,
you're
time
Ted frickin' Johnson.
Yeah, I'll just go down there and, hey, let my ass in. Don't you know who I am?
You know what, actually? Yeah. You know, Ted, put the tickets up for sale now. Get that couple $1,000 back. Stiz.
Yeah,
let's just do it. Look at the stars.
Yeah, we'll sing it.
Nope, we're not
doing
that.
Not the same. Not feeling the same way.
All right, Ted. So this is something we know you're pretty passionate about. The NFL, the NFLPA, players' treatment and contracts, guaranteed contracts. This came out. Pablo Torre got some information. He and Mike Florio joked that they raced to try to get it.
Yeah.
They had kind of heard wind that this existed but didn't have the document. It was a 61-page reply from an arbiter about a collusion case stemming from Deshaun Watson's contract guaranteed with the Browns. Shortly thereafter, Roger Goodell reportedly, allegedly, I don't know what I have to say to cover my butt, told owners that we're going to try to keep guarantees down in quarterback contracts. We're not going down the road of fully guaranteed contracts like Deshaun Watson. Then there was a ruling on this. And your players association, yeah, which you used to be a member of.
Well, I'm theoretically, I still am.
Okay, you're still a member.
But yeah, I'm not paying dues anymore. But
they agreed to keep this quiet. This was not revealed to their players. And I is that fair? Did I get that all kind of basically right?
That part is right.
So the setup is Pablo Torre has this information. He's been pushing it. We did have a news update before you get to the audio.
Okay.
Conveniently, the NFLPA has now filed an appeal of the decision. Now that the information is public, they have filed an appeal. And they said in their statement, the appeal is a reflection of our obligation to enforce the CBA and our commitment to protecting our players' interests.
You know my favorite part of this? And I don't know if this is a big story. We probably won't talk about this because the part about what I've learned through the concussion stuff is that people don't really care about how the sausage is made and if players aren't getting guaranteed contracts or, hey, oh, football, it's dangerous. Oh, wow. You know, that's – you didn't know that? And so you don't get a lot of – if the fans don't care about it, there's no pressure on the NFL to do anything about it. You said other than our union, which is not has never been to me a well kind of led union. And that's saying it kindly in my opinion. But just to kind of put a bow on what Andy's saying, this was the NFL Players Association in 2003. They allege collusion among the NFL owners to suppress the market for fully guaranteed contracts for top quarterbacks after that landmark Deshaun Watson contract in 2022. That's basically what it is.
And the arbitrator ruled they did collude, essentially, but there was like a non-finding because he couldn't prove that it affected contracts.
This is how it's worked. They found that the NFL encouraged teams to limit guarantees.
Right.
But there was no collusion.
They couldn't find the evidence of it.
Great. So they encouraged you to limit what you spent, but wasn't collusion.
Right.
Okay.
Which is weird.
It's, you know, there's
very
a fine
weird
line there. But this is, listen to this. This is Pablo Torre talking to Mike Florio, kind of setting it up, telling you kind of really what the whole case is about. It's about a minute long, so hang in there. But I think he does a good job of kind of encapsulating what this collusion case is all about.
And this secret document is the story of the National Football League Players Association versus the National Football League, a case brought by the union before an independent judicial arbitrator. And it is rooted in a defining power imbalance in American sports. Because in the NFL, unlike the NBA and NHL and MLB, NFL teams pretty much never do guaranteed contracts, even for star players, which is why almost all of the contract numbers that you'll hear are probably fake. Like, if a team cuts a guy, they don't have to pay the full value of that deal that they announced. But what the NFLPA did in 2022 was allege that the NFL's overall aversion to guarantees was no coincidence. The union argued, in fact, that it was the product of collusion, meaning that billionaire team owners had illegally conspired with the league office against almost 600 veteran players.
Quick aside, Pablo Torre needs a podcast double or Milli Vanilli. His information's phenomenal. He's clearly a great reporter. I hate listening to him. He annoys the hell out of me, his voice and his
smarmy kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
It sort of
smarmy
sounds like,
okay,
I know something you
yeah
don't
okay
know.
I don't care
okay
for it. I mean, you're doing
okay.
Just
oh, sorry about that.
Easy. You're doing a podcast about football, whatever. Like, you don't need to sound
don't take yourself so,
yeah,
so seriously.
Okay, so just another quote I came across here, Ted, about this topic.
Yeah.
So not only have they now filed an appeal, they filed an appeal. Why? Did they file an appeal to help their players, or did they file an appeal because they got caught covering this up? One could argue they got caught covering this up, and now they need to file an appeal.
Yeah,
right.
I hope that's what it is. I hope that the rank and file of the NFL players went to their union reps and said, "Are you kidding me? Our own union wants." And this is the best part of the NFL. I love the NFL. Like, they don't give three Fs at all. They actually want the NFLPA to pay for their lawyers,
yeah,
the NFL's lawyers, after this case. Well, they ruled against you, NFLPA, so now you got to pay the we want you to pay for all of our lawyer fees.
It's unbelievable.
They're shameless. They're shameless. But this is one of the letters that was written from the NFL to all the NFL teams about – it basically says this. Of course, all clubs must make their own decisions, but continuing these trends can handcuff a club in the future. Like, they're basically telling you.
Don't do this, guys.
It says, lastly, if guarantees continue – this is an NFL – letter to NFL teams. If guarantees continue to grow in both amount and number of players, then there is a risk that they become the norm in contracts regardless of a player's quality. That not only has the potential to hinder roster management, but set a market standard that will be difficult to walk back. Of course, all clubs must make their own decisions.
Right.
But continuing these trends can handcuff a club in their future. It's not collusion, but it's They're also just kind of letting you know that this is going to lead to problems if you continue this behavior.
Okay, you know what that is? That's not collusion. That's bullying. That's bordering on like racketeering.
Mandating.
Like you're like the fact that you're
collusion.
Like you're leaning
it's
on
collusion.
Them, saying like you probably should. And of course, we're not telling you can't, but it would really be a bad idea. And who among us in this room, wherever you were when you found out about the deal? I remember I was sitting in this very room when that came out 3 years ago, brag. Thanks, Diz. Who didn't think, this is going to screw the NFL so bad?
Sure, but
this
not
deal
really.
Is going to screw everything
it
up.
It doesn't really screw
Nothing
them. You know what it does?
NFL.
But you know what it does?
Well, no, because then this
it brings
happens,
them up to the 2025 sports
nothing
world.
Happened. Nothing will come of this.
Did you pay attention to the Milwaukee Bucks? They just cut Dame Lillard, but they have to pay him 2 more years at $57 million per year. The NFL is the only one that gets away with this crap. Mm-hmm. All the other leagues are already in this world where, yes, it is financially detrimental or whatever words they want to use. It's called modern sports business. It's how contracts work.
Why they have
work.
Such a high profit margin.
Yeah.
Oh,
because they
don't pay
them.
Anybody. Yeah,
so,
they bully everybody.
You may not even remember this. To prove your point about the NFL getting away with whatever the hell they want to get away with, the year before a lockout or the end of a CBA is an uncapped year. It always had been. It was supposed to be like a poison pill or like make people scared of getting there because all hell will break loose.
To encourage coming to the table and
Correct.
Getting to agreement. Yeah.
So the last time that happened, the CBA ran out. The year before was an uncapped year. The Dallas Cowboys treated it as an uncapped year. After they wrote a new CBA, you know what they went back and retroactively did? Penalized the Dallas Cowboys for treating it as an uncapped year, even though it was written in the
year.
CBA that it was an uncapped year.
Yeah.
They can do whatever they want.
Anything they want.
And I don't know if you're familiar, Ted, with this. So Peter Ginsburg is a lawyer who is works for Moskowitz, Colson, Ginsburg, and Shulman.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently
a law firm
that represents a lot of NFL players has in various issues over the years. He's quoted in this story that as the head of the union, Lloyd Howell, who's under a lot of scrutiny these days for a lot of things, has an obligation to protect the best interests of the players, Ginsburg said. By agreeing to a confidentiality agreement, the union purposefully blocked the players from receiving crucial information about the operations of the NFL. Mm-hmm. The NFL and the union should not be conspiring together to keep important information from
God
the players.
Mm-hmm. God bless them.
Right there, why is Lloyd Howell still running the NFLPA?
Yeah,
you read that.
Not for long, I hope.
How could he possibly be? Because the other issues that I don't know enough about is he's a paid consultant for some other firms. He's also Clark, the former Red Sox first baseman.
Tony Clark,
who's the head of the MLBPA. Not Will Clark.
Nope.
I don't think he's cut out for that business. They both are sort of, they're getting kickbacks from this organization they started.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I don't think Lloyd Howell is going to make it through the year with the NFLPA, and that's a different topic for a different day.
And he hasn't been in that position very long.
No, and it doesn't seem like he's cut out for it.
Talk about a thankless job.
Thankless,
you just constantly charge up the hill and lose every single time.
Is that the players underneath them aren't closely watching.
Just want their paycheck.
They just want their paycheck, and they're not going to be here very long because it's a finite amount of time you can play football, and so you never get any real strong leadership in the NFLP union because of all the transient nature of the business.
Andy, I apologize. When you were speaking, you were saying, I don't think Lloyd Howell is going to last very long.
Yeah.
I missed, did you include the fact that there's just recently been a petition filed to remove him?
Oh, I didn't know there was a petition. He's been under scrutiny for
according
a while.
According to
He's
Pro Football
guy,
Talk, Ted, this is their latest headline, just breaking. Petition emerges to remove Lloyd Howell as NFLPA executive director.
Yeah, he ain't going to be around long.
Yeah.
You
but he made good money while he was.
Contracts, huh? Yeah, maybe we move.
He ain't here for a long time, but he was here for a good time, and I bet you his bank account is, as long as he didn't actually break any laws and get any prison time, I think he's going to leave this with some nice coin in the bank. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we'll continue to talk football. We'll take your call, 617-779-7937. Do you care that the NFL is colluding against its players? That, hell, the NFLPA is essentially colluding against its own players with non-declaration acts and all those things. But we're also going to talk Patriots. Fitzy brought it up in his three-point stance. You have Christian Gonzalez as a potential, I don't know, defensive player of the year candidate. Where do you think the Patriots secondary as a whole ranks among the NFL? We've talked about it. A lot of positions, they don't rank very high. The secondary is one that actually sounds pretty good. PFF ranks them pretty high. We'll talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons. I'm going to assume this is Coldplay.
No, this is not.
No?
Oh. Mr. Brightside, the Killers.
Why am I
actually, songs. Andy, you
Why
ready
are they
for this?
Both laughing at me?
Dude, I literally, as we came in, I just turned to Dan and I said, I should have gotten Andy's ear and told him this was Coldplay.
So, Andy, here's a fun little trivia fact. The Killers may be the only band whose lead singer has the same name as a former NFL cornerback, since we're speaking about cornerbacks. Brandon Flowers.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
How about that?
I mean, I don't know the lead singer of the Killers.
That's his
I
name.
I have heard
Brandon
of
Flowers.
Because that was a Red Sox song a couple years ago. That took off.
They still kind of do
that's
it.
Still,
like,
yeah, that's still, yeah. That still rings off here.
As a matter of fact, dear Red Sox, more Mr. Brightside, less Sweet Caroline. Signed, all of us.
Well, how about Will Middlebrooks has one that he's added to the rotation, Pink Pony or something, that he gets them to play and he likes, like his kids love it or something. I think he's got a couple daughters. I'm not even really, but I hear they were joking the other night and they started playing.
As long as it's not Genuine's The Pony.
No, it's Something Pink Pony. Yeah, Dan Ball, you got info?
I believe the song you're searching for is Pink Pony Club by Chapel Roan.
Okay, well, yes. Will Middlebrooks single-handedly Pink is making Pony that Club. Part of the Red Sox experience.
Can I just get something off my chest about the Red Sox real quick?
Oh, this is the celebration?
What do you think I'm going to say?
You talk about when they round second base after the home run and they do the thing?
What is the thing?
I don't know.
You don't? I found out finally what it was. I heard.
Well, it reminds me a little bit
What do you think of when you see them?
So Zeke Elliott.
Hold on. Let people know what they're... Oh, really? See, I
like,
see
remember him feed me the cereal or whatever?
Differently. I see it differently. So people understand what we're talking
old-fashioned
about.
Old-fashioned camera?
Yes.
Ooh.
Hold on. Sorry. So people understand. Like, after... What after a single, if Danny on base, like you see the Red Sox player who hits a single. Now he's standing on first base and he looks over to the dugout and he does this thing where he looks like he's eating, but it also looks like a movie camera.
Are you sure it's not? I feel like it's feeding. Like, keep feeding, eating.
Okay. There is some question, though, because it's not obvious.
I found out it's a spoon. It's feeding.
Okay.
It looks like a camera, though. Like, you're doing a movie camera projecting thing to me.
The problem is...
And so, like, it's very confusing, the celebration.
You're right. They do it on first base, but I see a lot of them when it's like a home run and they're turning first base towards second. So they're kind of doing it on the move at a weird angle. Like, I think I watched Jaren Duran do it when he hit a home run. Okay. And
They do it on any home run. First. Yes. It doesn't matter.
They have a few weird ones, you know.
They have a few questionable ones.
If you're just going to do the spoon, like just do one arm with the spooning, then I go, oh, they're eating. But when you put the other hand up, it's like, what is this, a movie projector? What is this thing?
So maybe they should, like, knife and fork it?
Knife and fork it, something.
There you go. So, like, cut.
Maybe they don't care if we get.
What about the other ones?
Pizza.
But
it'd be.
What's the other one?
So they have one where it looks like they're milking a cow, but I don't know if that's what they're actually
doing.
No,
that is only for the ace pitcher. That's the one.
Okay.
Yeah. That is a crochet.
That's
the
a crochet thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And is that milking a cow or what is it?
The Will Fleming is he thinks it's milking a cow.
Okay.
So the teats, right?
Yes.
You just squeeze
them. You can say that.
Is
thank
just,
you. You can Stiz. We're talking about farm animals.
I'll allow it.
Is that what he's doing? Is he doing this?
Yeah. Well, they do it a little more aggressively.
Oh, he gets in there.
Yeah.
And go up, okay, up and down, up and down.
So,
yeah. All right.
And then there's some
I would
others.
Be like this. Yeah. If my first time, anyway. Okay. I wouldn't be so confident.
I don't
do
know.
That.
That's an awful big cow, Ted.
Twitch watchers just got a very interesting view.
Very graphic look at How Ted milks
I just,
giant
I'm
cows.
I'm surprised that you guys saw it all as eating. I saw it as like a film
I
projector.
I never saw it. All right, beautiful. Here I am rolling film on you in the old 1930s.
What's that guy's name? What's a Cecil DeMille or
Cecil
something?
B. DeMille, yes.
Yeah, that's, no. I thought
you
of
go,
Zeke.
By the way.
I thought of Zeke Elliott. That was the first thing.
Did
I
you have
thought.
Andy yeah. down for the director?
But Zeke, again, just one oh hand. It's
Whoa,
easy to, he's feeding.
Big,
yeah.
big deal for Quiz with
Steve other When they hold the other hand up, it throws, I don't get it.
Because you're right. When you hold the other hand up, it does make you think of those old-fashioned cameras that involve, so. I get where you're a little confused, well, okay. but yeah, apparently we have clarified it is indeed eating.
Good. Good Feed to know. Me. I just want us all to be on the same page with that.
Well, the good news is they're doing a lot of this stuff because they're all celebrations. Well,
a
and
lot
for
of
a while
hits.
There,
a
they weren't
hits.
Doing any of this.
There were no celebrations.
You know, I'd much rather debate celebrations than bitch yeah. about one-run losses yeah. and yeah. they're getting blown out
I mean,
in
I
the first inning. And
they,
yeah,
they need
Feed
to eat.
Them. Feed Let them eat. They're having Feed. Fun. So it's actually good. You can air in on this. We were talking about sort of they're clearly having fun. And they're clearly winning, and they're scoring a lot of runs. But is there like a chicken or an egg thing there? Like, are they playing better because they're having fun? There's a better dynamic
no.
within the team, or is that coming
around.
Because they're playing better?
There, it's the
you
fun
sure about that?
Comes. You know, let's see. I played 10 years in the NFL, 4 years in college, 4 years in the high school. Yeah, I got. I think I played.
I love when he gets his credentials.
He broke out.
Out
the resume.
Do I
got
to throw
you,
a
Andy.
Resume? Yeah. Like, do I got to say I played? You didn't.
Yeah, but you also
to,
are
but...
the one who told me everything changed when Tom Brady arrived.
Yep.
Like the air of the team changed.
What does that have to do with the price of rice in China?
The air of this team changed. The air of this team changed when they sent the Dink to San Francisco.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
my theory.
So,
my
so you're
proposal.
Saying the Dink going to San Francisco, all of a sudden we're like, okay, now we can have fun?
There's mm-hmm. a lighter mood in the locker room.
No, we don't have to worry about the big, huge human fart
in
the room.
So what about changing how they pitched or changing how they hit, thus hitting, getting more hits? And
pitching, I'm actually, is separate to me. I'm talking more about what we're talking about, the guys celebrating on base, the Meyer
no,
and Anthony celebrating.
If you're not winning, nobody's having fun.
Right.
There's no fun to be had when you're not winning.
Why are you yelling at me like I'm a player on your team?
Well, because you're
why
you're
don't
just,
you understand,
you
Dan, but there's no
understand.
Fun.
Like, sometimes I just, it's you don't get what I'm trying to say to you. You got this.
So
you went to Tufts, and it just amazes
very
me.
Smart.
Like, you can't be dumb to get into Tufts.
That is true.
No. Dumb is not to be mistaken with hard-headed.
Is that what it, hard-headed?
Yes.
Yeah, you're not dumb. You're hard-headed.
But
that's
I feel like
point.
You're being a little hard-headed because this...
You have a hard candy shell.
No, this feeds into my idea that there is a youthful energy to this team with Rafaela and Anthony and some of these young yeah. guys that maybe that energy is different than the energy when the old guy who was the star was like,
that's
no,
fair,
I'm not
but,
playing.
But
I'm
that,
not doing
you,
what
you
want me to do.
What starts the fun? What starts the fun is winning.
Okay. And then the young guys can ride
yeah,
that energy.
You know what? Young guys that don't win, the veterans will look at them like, dude, shut up. We're not winning. Like, go have your fun somewhere else. Let's win, and then we can have our fun.
All right. We did
so
not
we nailed
talk
the cornerbacks.
About,
I would say
so
that's why.
PFF thinks the Patriots have the fifth best secondary in football. We'll continue to talk about that because we are leading into 4 o'clock football, the hour we dedicate to the Patriots and the NFL and football because training camp is less than 2 weeks away. By the way, we'll be down there. We won't broadcast from there, but we'll be down there to check in. Ted Johnson, myself, Fitzy, get eyes on the ground. But up next here, we are going to rank the Patriots position groups from 1 to, I think it's 10, the Patriots position groups. So what's the best area of the team? What's the worst area of the team? And do you think there's any shot in hell we have anything close to a consensus on this? Based on the argument we just had, I'm going to say no. Ranking Patriots position groups up next here on WEEI Afternoons.